Thou wilt judge and avenge or vindicate our blood. This week we are going to study the 6th chapter of the book of Revelation. Last week we thought about the setting and the beginning of the judgment. Throne, sanctuary, Father presiding, Son deciding, Spirit shining, four living creatures, 24 elders, many angels, a book sealed, a book captured in the hands of the Lambkin, sprinkling his blood on the throne, that caused the redeemed and the universe to burst out in song. Now, chapter 6 takes up the story. And when the Lamb, the bleeding Lamb, the Lion, the Root, the one who prevailed, who captured, seized, controlled the Book of Records, opened one of the seals, I heard the noise of thunder, and one of the four living creatures said, "Get up and look. Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse. In Zechariah 10:3, the Lord has likened his flock to a horse, a goodly horse, in the day of battle. A horse in the scriptures is always used as an agent in warfare. Transportation was by donkey and by camel, but horses were used by soldiers or couriers or warfare or charioteers in times of conflict. So when it likens God's flock to a goodly horse in the battle, it is a symbol of the church militant. And I saw, when the first seal was opened, behold, a white horse. A white in the scriptures is a symbol of purity, of righteousness. And he that sat on him had a bow. Zechariah 3, thy bow was made quite naked, even thy word. And a crown was given to him. This is the crown of victory. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. This is the opening of the church militant, ridden by a rider, clothed in righteousness, armed with the word, guaranteed victor, going forth conquering and to conquer. When he had opened the second seal, a red horse came out, verse 3. Red is the color of blood. Blood is the result of sin, of death, of rebellion. And so the color is changing. Purity going white, turning to crimson, red. And power was given to him to take peace from the earth. I have come that they might have peace. But this was being taken away. The first church we saw was desirable, led by the apostles. The second was bloodied by persecution. Peace was taken that they should kill one another. There was given to him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, there was a black horse. Black is the opposite of white. White is light and righteousness. Black is darkness and wickedness. And a pair of balances was in his hand. And I heard a voice saying, "A measure of wheat for a penny." A penny, you will remember in the parable of the workers in the vineyard, was a day's wage. What the farmer earned, his laborer earned in one day. And a measure is the ration that was given to a soldier for a day. A measure of wheat for a penny. You've got to put all that you can earn in a day to get this day's ration of wheat out of which the bread of life, or the barley of which the bread of life was made. And see, thou hurt not the oil, nor the wine. In the Old Testament, when it mentions corn, it's any grain before it reaches ripeness. Wheat, barley, oats, rye looks more or less the same when it is growing. In 1611, this was all called corn. But when it ripened, you could discern, now this is a head of oats, and this is a head of wheat, and this is a head of barley, this is a head of rye. Then it was given a specific name. So corn and wine, oil and corn and wine, are the terms that are used in the Old Testament for the total nourishment of God's people. Literally applied to their agriculture, but then symbolically applied to their sustenance and their spiritual life. So while the age of commercialism had come into the church, darkness shrouded it, and man had to give all that he earned, his whole life, to get the wheat and the barley, yet the word from the throne was, don't altogether hurt the oil and the wine, the oil of the Spirit and the wine of the new covenant. And when he had opened the fourth beast, I heard a voice of the fourth saying, come and eat, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. This is peaked green, like a plant that grows in a basement without light. The name of him that sat on him was death, and the grave followed him. Power was given him over the fourth of the earth to kill with a sword, and hunger and death, and the wild beasts of the earth. This is a picture of the dark ages and the persecution. The church militant has now become the church persecuting, killing one another, destroying all dissenters, and wherever they went, death followed. Not only physical death, but because of the perversion of the truth, spiritual and eternal death. That they should kill with the sword and with hunger and death and the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain. Now this term, under the altar, is an expression of where the blood was poured out that had been sprinkled in the holy place, and the residue was poured out at the west side of the altar to form the foundation of the altar. This represented the sacrifice. And like the blood of Abel in Genesis 4, cried out to God, the life of those that had been slain for the word of God, the martyrs, and for the testimony which they bore, which they held. Not only did they have the testimony of Jesus Christ, which is the spirit of prophecy, but they bore that testimony. And they cried, saying, how long, O Lord? Now this expression, how long, is found many times in the Bible. Turn to the Psalms. Look up the concordance for how long. Look in the book of Daniel. How long will it be? Till when is what it literally means. And the answer is given in the how long of Daniel 8:13 to the answer of Daniel 8:14. Till the 2300th cleansing of the sanctuary day. Till when will all this go on? Holy and true, dost thou not judge? So these souls under the altar are represented as calling for the judgment. And the judgment and the cleansing of the sanctuary are the same. Till when will it be? Till the judgment avenges our blood or vindicates our blood on them that dwell on the earth. And in Daniel 7, they are to look till the judgment set and the saints were given the kingdom. So the same picture is, and the same question, till when or how long, is asked here. And as a result of the judgment, verse 11, white robes were given to every one of the martyrs. And the white robes, clean and white, the righteousness of Christ, say the judgment was given on behalf of the saints and the martyrs, that they should rest for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren should be killed as they were. See, they're the judgment of the dead, and when they're complete, the little weight will have to be to the judgment of the living or those that have not yet finished their probation. They should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. As Paul said, I die daily, I suffer daily, I am killed all the day long. Satan would destroy, but God would have us triumph when we allow self to be killed. And when he'd opened the sixth seal, see, we have come down through the time of the Reformation, when they are recognized, to the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. This was in November 1755. This was a sign earthquake. It was followed by the sun becoming black on in May 1780, and then the stars fell, verse 13, May 13, 1833. So the sixth seal corroborates Christ's statement, Matthew 24, that there would be a great earthquake, the sun would be darkened, and the moon would be turned into blood, and the stars would fall from heaven. There are some who choose to argue about these earthquakes. They build a straw man and they fight it. They say, well, the Lisbon earthquake was not the greatest earthquake. Well, nobody said it was a great earthquake, except some over-enthusiastic preacher, perhaps. The Bible says there will be a sign earthquake. And a sign earthquake is one that is way out of extraordinary. Let me give you an illustration. You want me to identify for you a certain person. And I say, if you go into the committee meeting and look for a man with big ears, he's the man you're looking for. Or a big nose. Or a bald head. Now, there may be other men with large noses or large ears or bald head, but you look for a sign nose. It's a super. It may not be the biggest nose that anyone ever had, but it will be a sign nose. And so as the Middle Ages passed on, and there were earthquakes every century, and there have always been, there was suddenly, after this time of the fifth seal, a great earthquake. And as you look over the sweep of the centuries, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, Lisbon earthquake stands out. Then it was followed by the darkening of the sun and the moon. Now, we are not told how it would become dark, just that it would be darkened. And so it was, as Webster's dictionary talks about the dark day. And that was followed by the falling of the stars. There are some who choose to argue against that and say the stars fall every 33 years, which of course is not so. It fell in New England in 33. There was quite a meteorite shower in Old England and in Ireland in 66. And then the astronomer said, this is a cycle. But they looked in 99 and there was none. And they looked again in 1932. Some people talk about 33, but they forget that from 1899 to 33 is 34 years. I happened to be in Newbold College in 33 years, and we got special permission to stay out all night. But there was no meteorite falling in 32. The next one was in 65. I happened to be at PUC in 65 in the astronomy department, and the students went to the observatory and looked, but there was no meteorite falling of any consequence in 1965. So it's not a 33-year cycle. The 1833, following the dark day and the Lisbon earthquake, are three signs in the heavens that are to alert us, as Jesus says in Matthew 24, to the time of the end. And then the heavens departed. This is the second coming of Christ, and the kings of the earth and the chief men and everyone who was outside of Jesus Christ called to the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb and the one who's sitting on the throne. The wrath of a lamb, a lambkin, a baby lamb. The great day of his wrath is come, and who will be able to stand? And that question we must ask ourselves. We have all these signs, and we're this side of 1833. The next thing is the open heavens, the coming of Christ, and the question, will I be able to stand?